Grace,
mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word hear is Shema. Go ahead and say that, Shema, Shema. O Israel, Yisrael, it's three syllables to it, and it's spelled Y-I-S is the first syllable, then R-A for the second syllable, and then E-L. So you sort of say Yisrael. So try that, Yisrael. The next word is Adonai. So say that, Adonai.
Adonai.
That means God. Excuse me, that means Lord is Adonai. And then God is Eloheinu. It's four syllables. Eloheinu. Try that. Eloheinu. And then you say Lord again, which is Adonai. Adonai. And the last word is one. And it's Echad. And it's E-C-H-A-D. And that C-H sound is a kh. And sort of like you're trying to get that phlegm out of your throat. So you go, Echad. So try that. Don't spit on anybody nearby. But, Echad. Okay, so let's put this all together. I'll say it, and then we'll say it together. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. So let's do that together. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That is the great Shema, how it starts. That is the That's the Israeli, the Jewish faith at its roots. The whole Shema prayer is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. That, Deuteronomy verses chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, is the Shema prayer. And that is what set Israel apart. One God. The nations around them had many gods. But you, children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you shall have no other gods. There is one God alone. As it is written, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The heart of the Hebrew testimony, the Lord is one. Through the years, many names for the Lord were recorded in their Torah, which is our Old Testament scriptures. God, Elohim, Mighty One. Eloah, Almighty One. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Yanan, God Most High. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of Hosts. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Provides. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord Heals. Those are just a few of the many names. Now, each name is not a separate God. Each name expresses the Hebrew experience of the one God, their God. As is written in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Holy Scriptures testify there is one God, one, not a plurality, but one God. From the very beginning, the one God, the existing one, there are no other gods. For the past thousands of years, this is the testimony of faith of the Hebrews. This is the faith that set the chosen ones apart by the living God to be his own, the Jewish people. The Shema taught, memorized, and continually recited as the faith through the generations has instilled and implanted in their hearts and in their souls one God, no others. Then comes along the Sea of Galilee a man. Along the dusty roads between Jerusalem and Jericho, in the town of Bethany, beside a well in Samaria, by encounter and experience, this Jesus shows himself to be much more than a mere man. There is more to him than meets the eye. The signs, the words, the wonders. Claiming to have the authority to forgive sins. And then proves that he does indeed have the authority to forgive sins. Remember, Jesus asked the religious leaders, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. Then in their full view, the paralytic gets up, takes his mat, and walks. Only God can forgive sins. And this Jesus is forgiving sins. Thereby proving he has the authority to forgive. But there is only one God. How can this Jesus be God? Multiplying the loaves of bread to feed the multitudes. Calling of Lazarus from the tomb. Walking on water. Calming the storm. Who is this Jesus? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. See if you remember, join with me now. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. How do you reconcile the Shema and Jesus? The things he demonstrated through his actions and through his words. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The Jews understood Jesus' words. They picked up stones. They were going to stone him right there and now. How can this Jesus, a mere man, claim to be God? John chapter 10, verse 38. But if I do them, Jesus speaking again, and the them is this works of the Father he said he's been doing, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Jesus says, see the signs. See the signs as they are, marvelous, wonderful miracles. How are these signs happening unless I am who I say I am? These signs clearly demonstrate for all to see that Jesus is exactly who he claims to be, the very presence of I am. I am is in your midst. The living God right here before your eyes. Through experience, firsthand eyewitnesses' experience, the disciples came to know Jesus. The 3 years together, sharing life together, they came to know Jesus, such that one day Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But still, they did not comprehend, as expressed by Philip, as recorded in John chapter 14, beginning at 8, at the verse 8. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered back to Philip, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? These words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Then, proclaiming the fact, the historical fact of the empty tomb, Jesus alive, after being crucified, Jesus is God. As Thomas declared before falling down before him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is Lord. One of the earliest confessions of the church, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How do you reconcile all of this? Being solidly rooted in, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Together now in the Hebrew, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And confess, Jesus is Lord. How do you hold firmly Jesus is Lord as the truth? And the Lord your God is one as the truth. How can you say both as the truth? The testimony is there. The witness is there. The holy word of God is there. Denying neither propositional statement, there must be something mysterious to the oneness of God. Something inexplicable to our human understanding of reality in the one God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Father. The name Father is given. No other name may be substituted. Father, addressing a unique person. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus often said, my Father, when referring to God. So we have Father, and we have Jesus in the oneness of God. Then there's the promise of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that came on Pentecost, that power from on high. How do we understand? How do we express our Christian faith? One God, Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit. That is why the three creeds came to be: the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. To express what it means to believe in one God. And yet, by experience and the testimony of the Holy Scripture, there is Father, there is Son, there is Holy Spirit. The Apostles' Creed reflects the apostolic teaching, and its roots are in a baptismal creed. Do you believe in the Father? I believe. Do you believe in the Son? I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe. The Nicene Creed was formed over a period of years from 325 AD to 451. And it came to have a central place in the Eucharistic liturgy, that is, the liturgy of Holy Communion. The Athanasian Creed first appeared in churches in Gaul, which is the south of France, North Africa, and Spain. It is a mini theology lesson of the Holy Trinity. What the triune nature is and what it is not. particularly making clear the oneness of God and the uniqueness of the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now you may ask, why is this important for me? This is why. You hear in today's culture, all religions are the same. Just using different names for the same God. You hear in today's culture, different paths, they all lead to heaven. Or whatever that word is they use to mean heaven. That place, you know. These three creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, they testify that the statement that all religions are the same, repeated over and over by our culture, that statement is full of bunk. It's hogwash. It's nonsense to say the God or gods of the world's religions are the same God as the one God revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Why is this important to you? It's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. This is why it is important, and listen carefully. You want to know the one God that truly saves, the one God that truly saves your soul. You want to have a living faith that leads to eternal life. There is only one faith that saves. There is only one faith that leads to eternal life. There is only one Redeemer, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. There is only one God that saves, and that is the one God who created all things, the Holy One of Israel. The compassionate one who gave his son to be that saving gift. The propitiation that fully satisfies the righteous holiness of God, making way for the forgiveness of sins. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism that truly redeems and gives life. So it does matter what you believe. It does matter in whom you put your trust. As the Athanasian Creed testifies, whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish. Unpack a couple words for you. Catholic is small c. And it means worldwide universal faith. And the way it's here in the creed, it means the Church of Jesus Christ across the world. That's what small c Catholic means. The Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Inviolable. Never to be broken. Infringed, dishonored, nor changed. But kept sacred. What this means, there is a universal faith of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's the one faith that truly saves. A little more from the Athanasian Creed. Now this is the Catholic faith. We worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. Persons. What that means is the unique individuality of the Father, and the unique individuality of the Son, and the unique individuality of the Holy Spirit. In the triune nature of God, there is unique individuality of three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. At the same time, there is a oneness of divine, of one God. Do we need to comprehend and understand this threeness and oneness? Do we need to figure out how the triune nature of the Trinity actually is? No, we don't. That is beyond our human intellectual capacity. What we do need to do is simply by faith. Listen to the witness of the Holy Scriptures and confess this truth. That is the only faith that truly redeems and saves a soul. So we can testify with ancient Israel and say it one more time. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We can say that and we can testify Jesus is Lord. We can testify of our Father in heaven. And we can testify God dwells in us, the Holy Spirit. And we can know the one God loves us. The one God has redeemed us out of pure, compassionate grace and given us eternal life through forgiveness in the blood of the Son. It is ours by faith. This is the one God you want to know. This is the one God you need to know. This is the one God that truly does save your soul. Live by faith. Believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and always shall be, now and forever. Amen.